We had three limudim from the first paragraph of the Perek Tezvav over here that we said last time. That there's really nothing that Panugei Olam Hazeh. That seeing something is a tremendous keshek for that thing. And that the way to protect a person from things that he does see is when the realization penetrates. When the realization mamash penetrates that there's nothingness to it. We talked about Rabbi Breuer looking at Manhattan. And when the realization penetrates, there's nothing behind, there's nothingness to it. So then it helps the person be able to be kavish as yetzer even when he is exposed to something. We've spoken about it before, but I want to mention one other taiva. That's nothing. That's so moishik, it's almost beyond any logic. And I think this is something that if a person works on, a person could actually learn to be memayit. To be memayit is his spilus from that taiva. And that taiva is the chemdas hamomen, is a desire for money, is money. So, Yitzhak Thomas lives in my house, and he gets very, very interesting mail every once in a while. So, a couple of times, I think twice in the last 2 weeks, he got the following mail. Something along these lines. I don't know if I have it exactly 100%, but something along these lines. Pay to the order of Yitzhak Thomas, $250 million. Very exciting. Or some other astronomical sum. So it's the kind of thing, it's amazing. Like, you can't throw it out. You know it's nothing and you can't throw it out. So he's like, okay, let's read this carefully. So if you look very carefully, you take out a magnifying glass, you see that it says pay to the order of Yitzhak Thomas up to $250 million. That's first of all, clue number one. But still, it's a check. It's a check. So you read the back very, very carefully. Very, very, very carefully. And somewhere hidden in the words in the back is that a couple of thousand people are being awarded prizes from $1 up to $1,000. And the sum of all the money that's being given out is $250 million or something like that, or whatever it is. And if you want to get your prize from $1 up to $1,000, send in $35. So if you send in something like that? If you send in $35, then you get your dollar back. That's the thing. Now let me ask you something. If these things didn't make money, do you think you would have gotten it in the mail? Not just one, but two, I think even more than two. Do you think people would get these stupid sweepstakes in the mail if they didn't make money? I'll cover if they make money. It must be they make money. So that means that there must be people all over the country sending in $35 to get a dollar. It must be. No, it's mukro. It's mukro. It must be that way. So this is what I want to understand. What possesses people to send in a $35 check to get back a dollar in the mail? That's what I want to understand. And it's mukro that this is what's going on. It's a great sakasha. One of the biggest curses that can happen to a person is to become wealthy. It's a fact. One of the biggest curses that could happen to someone is to be wealthy. Chabad Chaim used to say, someone who's wealthy, lo yaleinu. That's what Chabad Chaim used to talk. Someone once went to the Chavetz Chaim and was telling him that he was read to a girl. Imagine, today people are in Shidduchim will appreciate this story. He was read to a girl, and he's telling his Rebbe, he's telling his Rosh Hashiva, the Chavetz Chaim, that she's mamish so poor, they mamish don't have an ounce of food to eat in their house. She's mamish incredibly poor. So Chavetz Chaim says, that's wonderful, and what other milas does she have? That's the Chavetz Chaim's response. I saw this written over from his Talmidim. That's gewaldig. What other milas does she have? Because he considered her a mila not to be wealthy. tells it, the Mishnah says in Abbas, whoever's Mekayim the Torah out of poverty, the end will be that he'll be Mekayim it out of wealth. So if you look at the Mefarshim, go look it up. You look at the Mefarshim over there, they say, whoever's Mekayim the Torah from poverty, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him an even bigger Nisayim. You pass the smaller Nisayim, Hashem gives you an even bigger Nisayim to be Mekayim the Torah Me'oishu, which is much, much more difficult. It's an amazing thing. I don't know if it's society. I don't know exactly what it is. Someone played a tremendous trick on us. Because if you'll be baidik, daik v'tishkach, go, don't take my word for it, be baidik, and you'll find that not only are richer people not happier than people that don't have money, but they're less happy than people who don't have money. It's an amazing thing. We're all going crazy. We want to have money. And the kemat the wealthier a person is, the more tzaris he has. Kemat. Kemat the wealthier a person is, the more daigus he has. Wealthy people, crave a simple life. They crave what we have. They crave a simple life. Simple. Their enjoyment of this world is not any more than ours. We spoke about this a number of times. It's just a question of where your threshold is. Someone whose threshold is that he's used to going on a cruise every year, so then he has to top the cruise to be able to be on a Geschmacka vacation. Someone whose threshold is paying $79 in a motel somewhere, so he has to top the $79 and he's having an enjoyable time. Whatever threshold a person has in his daily life, if he pushes that a little bit, he'll feel some tainug. He'll feel the Geschmack. Talked about this barichas a few times. You think that Donald Trump has more fun on vacation than we do? Absolutely not. As a matter of fact, he's burned out. He did everything. He went everywhere already. He's burned out. He's going to be one of these guys that pays a few million dollars to take his trip on a spaceship. Well, something he never did before. He's done it. He's seen it. For us, we take a drive up to the country somewhere and we look at a beautiful park, a beautiful lake. We can take in the geschmack. We have geschmack. Money doesn't lead to geschmack. It's an amazing thing, and this is something that's been shown, statistics that's been proven, that's been shown. Everybody's going crazy, lines and lines of people to buy lottery tickets when you have these big lotteries. They talk about it every once in a while. Everyone's going crazy, millions and millions of tickets are sold, and one person finally wins, and he makes $10 million. And he's in the papers, and it's a big deal, and he can't believe it. I think it was a guy recently? 77 cents left his name or something. Anybody know about this?
Anybody?
What? Yeah. 78 cents. Guy recently had 78 cents left to his name, and now he won how much?
After taxes.
After taxes, $59 million. Is he married? If he's married, in a year he won't be. You can't stay married after that. Not a guy anyway, for sure, but even a year would have a hard time. The guy does not realize that the saddest day of his life is the day he walked away at $59 million. His menucha is over, his happiness is over, normal life is over, and he doesn't realize it now, but in a few years to come, he's going to think back and he's going to say, the worst thing that ever happened to me was that I won the lottery. I lost my friends, I lost my family, I used up all the money quickly because he doesn't have no idea how to deal with money. He's going to consider it the worst curse that ever happened to him. And this is a proven thing. People who have, if you follow up on people who have won tremendous amounts of money, Aaron said 70%. There's a high suicide rate, there's a high divorce rate, and there's a very high bankruptcy rate. They end up owing more money than they ever thought they would ever have. So what is it? We have to say out clear. You have this thing called money. We're all going crazy. We try working hard. We want to make money, and one day we want to have a lot of money, and nothing. It does not lead to anything. Is there anybody that said, "I used to not be happy, and now that I made money, I'm happy"? No such a thing. Wealthier person. person is, the more of a chance he is to be depressed. The wealthier a person is, the more chance he is to be suicidal. The wealthier a person is, the more chance he is to be a drug addict. It's an incredible thing. And this is what we're running after. The pressures of being wealthy. It's amazing also, the pressures. Just the pressures of being wealthy. I'll give you an example. I'll just give you a small example. Someone who's a simple person and someone who's a wealthy person. Just to give you a mushroom. Someone is a simple person, and he has to make a simple. He has to make a simple. A bris, a bar mitzvah. He has to make a simple. So, what does he do? He calls his family and friends together. He buys some delicious food, and he has a simple. But someone who's very wealthy has to call a party planner. The paper goods have to match. The women's clothing has to match the paper goods. The babies will have to match each other. It's a stress. It's a big stress. It's nothing but a stress. And if you know what goes on behind the scenes, it really is a stress. I'm not exaggerating at all. I wish I was exaggerating. It's a bunch of stress. The whole simcha, instead of just being a gishmaka simcha, it's a stressful simcha. You have to look a certain way. You have to kind of, simplicity is just so desirable. There's this great story. I think I once read it here. There's this great story. I think it's a famous thing about a wealthy guy that was vacationing somewhere. I forgot where. And he met a simple fisherman. That was canoeing or with a sailboat or something in the river. And he said to him, I don't understand. Why, he asked him a little bit about his business. And he said, instead of just bringing in a little bit of fish every day to support your family, why don't you buy a bunch of fish and buy a bunch of ships and hire people and get very big nets and you'll be able to get a lot of fish. So the guy said, and then what will I do? And then you'll make so much fish, you'll be able to buy even more ships, and you'll start a shipping company and a fish treatment plant, and you'll make even more money. So he says, and now what will I do? So he says, and then you'll be busy with this whole thing, and he keeps putting it, and says, and then what will be? And then the end of the story is that the rich guy says, and then when you have to go on vacation, you'll come to a little fishing village and you'll try to fish with the simple fishermen. That's the grace of vacation. And if you think about it, how many wealthy people they go out on vacation, they go to live the simple life for a few days. I had a shortcut for them. They didn't have to go make all the money. They didn't have to make themselves so busy. They didn't have to make life so complicated. They could have just lived the simple life all year round. I know someone who had a teacher in Eretz Yisrael many, many years ago, a relative of mine. And she went many, many years without being in Eretz Yisrael. She was in touch with the teacher through letters, but she went many years without being in Eretz Yisrael. And she finally, after 20 some odd years, she went back to Eretz Yisrael to meet her teacher that she hadn't seen in like 2 decades. When she met the teacher, she said, I want to just tell you something. Everything you told me to daven for, I davened for. And Baruch Hashem, everything you told me to daven for, I davened for, and I got it. Why didn't you ever tell me to daven for money? That I didn't daven for and I didn't get. And the teacher said on the spot, I was there when this happened. The teacher said on the spot, what's the point of davening for money? Money is a hechatimtzah. Money is an emtzoi. Money is a means to something. Just daven for all the things that you need, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give the money to be able to have those things. And that's how we have to look at money. Money is a way to get. I mean, there's no such thing as davening for money, and there's no such thing as being excited to have a lot of money. Money is nothing. It's a tzara, tisurim. Tisurim to have money. Svarim tell us that when a rich person has money, it's not that person's money to do whatever he wants with. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a person money and it's his money. It's not his money to do whatever he wants with. He's a gabbai tzedakah for the Rabbani Shalom. He's watching the Rabbani Shalom's money. That's a tremendous achrayis. I'm not sure I want that achrayis. I have to watch a million of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's dollars. Do I have any more of a right to spend it extravagantly than someone who doesn't have the money? It's not my money, it's Rabbani Shalom's money. You know what a diyun it is? You know what a nisayin it is? Every penny that a rich person spends? Is it so pashut? A relative of mine fell once, a couple of years ago, fell in front of someone's house. So they decided to sue the owners of the houses, the city, the state, the country, whatever, whoever they could sue. And they're suing altogether for $5 million. I'm amish mispal that they shouldn't win $5 million. I can't imagine a worse tzara for them than to win $5 million. It's a terrible tzara. It's a terrible, terrible, terrible tzara. You go on spending sprees, and your whole lifestyle goes up 1,000 notches, then nichshalim v'chet go up 1,000 times. People get into fights over money. Relationships get destroyed completely. All kinds of relationships get destroyed completely over money. There's nothing that's a relationship destroyer more than money. Nothing. Relationships can dissolve over money. So much simpler, just get a job, come home every month with a paycheck, pay the bills, put food on the table, and that's all. It's a sickness that we have, that we sit, a rich person comes in, we mamish like a god walked into the room. The chanifa that goes on, the it's just amazing, we drew, like a rich person comes in, we mamish like some kind of, someone told me someone told me that he has a friend that lost a lot of money. He was a very, very rich guy, and he lost a lot of money. And when he was very, very rich, people used to always call him for advice. You know, people, he was a rich guy. People called him for advice. And he lost his money. He said, people stopped calling him for advice. He said, I don't understand. I lost my money, not my mind. But somehow we don't care about people's money. We just care about their money. Someone has money, he's mamish. Someone has money, can give us advice about everything. Forget about money, about everything. He's a baldeya about everything. He's a rich guy. He's nothing. What is it? It's money. It's nothing. It's nothing. Someone was telling me that he was recently by the Meir Yeshiva makes a dinner every year. And they have a beautiful, beautiful minig by the Meir Yeshiva dinner. They have a beautiful minig that so many of the alumni of the yeshiva gather together every year, the Meir in New York. So many alumni of the yeshiva gather together every year that the Rosh Yeshiva, Shmuel Birnbaum, gives a shir klali. Middle of the dinner, he gives a shir klali. Gets on the mic, and he gives a shir klali. It's a beautiful thing. Whoever has the guts in front of everyone there, there's mamash amasa umata. People argue back and forth and learning. It's mamash in the middle of a dinner of pilpula deraisa. Beautiful, beautiful thing. A beautiful mirit Hashem by us. We'll have such a minig. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. So he said that he was amazed that you can have people speaking up that are multi-millionaires. Multi-millionaires speaking up by the sheer. Shmuel treats them same thing as the next guy. There's no difference to him at all. Not because he's a kanoi, not because he's frum, just because he sees things truthfully. And the truth is, what is the difference between one yid who's a gabbite stuck up with a bunch of a lot of money and one yid who's a gabbite stuck on the bunch for not so much money? What's the difference? This person told me that a tremendous gvir got up to say something, and he started saying, I remember when Yoshver used to come to a certain shir that I give, and he says, in front of everyone, he says, for some reason you didn't show up to the shir. He started criticizing him. He said, like, people couldn't believe that he could say something like that to the person. Such a rich person. Mamish is a supporter of the yeshiva. What's Shver? He's saying the truth. He's speaking the truth. Whatever he would say to, whatever his chesed is to say something like that. But you say it to a person who's not a multimillionaire supporting the yeshiva, you say it also to a multimillionaire. You can't let money run our lives. It dominates our lives. Someone who has money gets more covered than someone who doesn't. It dominates our life. Baron Cutler was once sitting by someone who was collecting money for the yeshiva, and the person was ready to write out a tremendous check to the yeshiva. Tremendous check. And the person told him, okay, fine, I'm writing out this check, but the bottom line is the future of Judaism lies with the conservative movement. And he's writing out the check. All Baron had to do was keep his mouth shut. He didn't even have to keep his mouth shut for a long time. He just had to keep his mouth shut for 5 minutes. He would have pocketed the check for as much money, as an exorbitant amount of money in those days, and that's all. But no, Rabbi wouldn't even wait another second. Stop right there. What you just said is not true. That's kfira. The future of Yiddishkeit is with frumkeit. The future of Yiddishkeit is with yeshivas. And the guy was giving money. As a man of truth. money does not sway the way he talks. Money, the guy was giving $1 to the yeshiva, the guy was giving $1,000 to the yeshiva. It doesn't make a difference to him. This is something we mamish, I can't stress enough. As you get older, you'll see how right I am. It's pashut, treating money like avodah zarah just destroys lives. That's all it does. It's something not to be nispoil from. People whose focus in life is to make a lot of money, that's their focus in life, it's going to be a disappointing life. They're never going to feel like they reached their goal, and they're never going to be happy. If someone's focus in life is to do something constructive with their life, to accomplish something, to raise a family, to do chassadim, to learn Torah, to do something constructive, then their Rebbe Shem will provide as much money as is necessary. But a focus to make money is a guaranteed disappointing life. So this is when he talks about Arayis HaGadayles Shekroyim Livolid Me and the Pchisos, the Gurias of the Tanulis, he doesn't even talk about money because it's not even really a Tainug. But today, this desire for money took on a life of its own for some reason. It took on a life of its own, and in and of by itself, even though there's no pleasure in having $100 in your wallet, but for some reason, this manenu, it took on a life of its own, and there's this enormous cheshek for this disease causing, tzara causing, yisurim causing machla called Ashiras. You know, if you look at a calendar, you see every day is, white, let's say, and the Shabbos, and they have in gray or colored, the Yom Tovim, they have colored. It's a good mashal. The whole day is a different color on Hanukkah. The whole day, it's different. It's a different day. It's a different color. It's a different reality. It's a different existence. And if we don't know anything about Hanukkah, we don't know enough about Hanukkah, so we have work to do. There's a couple of hours left. The clock is ticking. We have to be ready for Hanukkah. You made us holy with your mitzvahs. That's unbelievable, right there. That's just unbelievable. We're going to do a mitzvah tomorrow night that gives us Kedusha. A special mitzvah. We don't get to do every day. So the chavivas of a mitzvah that comes only once a year. 1 week of the year. Check Kedushanu b'mitzvahisa. Who would have thought that in 2004 we could still have Kedusha? With all the shvutz that's out there, with all the garbage that we're exposed to, with all the nisyanis that we have, every single person, no matter what he's been through, no matter how many yiridas he's had, no matter how difficult things have been, every single yid can have Kedusha tomorrow night. Check Kedushanu b'mitzvahisa. V'tzivanu, when he's under a command, who's the commander? He's not under a command from the mayor, he's not under a command from the governor, he's under a command from the Melech Malchi Amlochim, a special command to him. He's a soldier in the Rabbanu Shalom's army. He's under command. L'had l'kner shel Chanukah. It's something, we have to feel special. We have to feel special. I wish we would wear suits on Chanukah. It doesn't say to wear Big Day Shabbos, I don't think. Does it say? I don't think it says to wear Big Day Shabbos. But my point is just, we should feel different on Hanukkah. We should feel different. We should not eat good food on Hanukkah. We should sing a lot on Hanukkah, but not the time because we have to exercise our vocal cords. We should sing on Hanukkah because it's a time to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and through song sometimes, it's easier to connect sometimes, even more than through tefillah sometimes. When someone's speaking, you'll have a masiba, you'll have a speech or something. Someone's speaking about Inyanei Chanukah. You have to be a fool not to listen. Someone's describing something about the Yontif. Someone's describing something about the reality. You know, it's funny because this has to do with the money that we talked about before. Also, a couple of months ago, somebody came over to me and told me that if I put money into this bank and this whole thing, I'm going to become very, very rich. And I told them, no, thank you. Because what are you talking about? How can you give it up? You'll be able to stay and learn for so many years. No, thank you. Turned out, of course, that the whole thing was a ruckle of a tell to begin with. I saved myself many hours. We're not getting involved with it. But imagine if, someone comes to tell you in Yanei Chanukah, he's telling you ways to maximize the most important investment of your life. This is the key. It's sure money. It's sure accomplishments. People sit, everyone quiets down when a gvir walks into a room to give financial advice. Everyone's quiet. Everyone wants to hear how a gvir made financial. That's why, from what I understand, over the shoulder of a billionaire. Because everyone wants to have the money that he has. And one day that his opinion should be the most important opinion. If someone gets up, if Rabbi Kalish will get up, if Rabbi Kesterman will get up, if someone will get up at whatever point it is, someone will get up and start talking about what Hanukkah means, this is your chance that a millionaire is getting up and describing to you how to make millions. Because Hanukkah is a reality. Because Hanukkah exists. It's an actually real existing thing. It's not just something that we light a menorah and we go to wherever our parents schlep us for a Hanukkah party. It's a reality. It's real. And I think that we're not realizing how real it is. When Shkia tomorrow, the sun is going to start setting, we're heading into a new dimension. We're heading into a new Kedusha. We're heading into a new reality. We all understand what it means, Shkia on Yom Kippur. We understand what it means, Shkia on Shabbos. We have to stop doing Malacha. I guess Hanukkah is a weekday. We don't feel it enough. But Hanukkah is real. It's supposed to be on our minds. There's no Hanukkah storm on the tables. Except on your table. To know what this Yantav is all about. How come nobody... I've had the opportunity for people to come over to me to ask me advice about a lot of different things. How come nobody came over to me this week and said, Hanukkah's coming, I don't feel ready? Before Rosh Hashanah every year, people come over to me and say, I don't feel ready for Rosh Hashanah. Before Yom Kippur, people come over and I don't feel like I can do tshuva. But before Hanukkah, nobody comes over and says, I'm not ready for Hanukkah. What should I do? I don't feel ready for Hanukkah. Hanukkah is real. Hanukkah is a life-changing experience. You have to hop around. Don't get schlepped along with the Kiddush guy. Hanukkah is a reality. Hanukkah is a chinuch. That's what the word Hanukkah means. It's a chance to be mechanic ourselves differently. It's a chance to inject Kedusha into our life. Tahara into our life. Oyer into our life. Tahir into our life. It's a step up. Something incredible is happening tomorrow night. And Amir Tashem, we should be zeichet to invest enough energy, real ruchniyat energy, into the Yantiv that will walk out 8 days later, 8 days richer.